This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. That's kind of odd for me to be saying, but it's really great. Great to be alive on a Monday morning. Everything is going super well. We're following George Plaster and Bart Walker. So we've got a little bit of pressure on us this morning. And we want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. Their company is different than any other you see in the local marketplace because their owner-operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means they're hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide their clients what they want most, that's to remain in their own homes as independently as possible with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart. They truly do care. They provide top-quality professional caregiving service throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. You can reach them at 713-4639, pull them up on the internet, or go by their place of business. It's 237 Castlewood Drive. That's 237 Castlewood Drive. I have Mr. Larry Stewart on today, who is one of my favorite people in the whole world. One of these people that kind of evolved through sports into education and has become, I guess, the number one role model outside of Las Casas and some of those other areas where you've meant so much to the kids as they were growing up and where they've matured and where they are today, Larry.
Well, I appreciate those comments, Truman. I don't know how true they are, but we did have a good run in education. I had 36 years, all of them at Las Casas, and I doubt that there's many people that could say they started and ended their career at the same school, what with consolidation and all that stuff. But I had a good career. I had a lot of good people to work with at Las Casas, and that made it pretty easy.
You know, it's great to be alive, especially this time of year. This is my favorite sports time because we've got baseball. You're running now for the championships in the leagues and hoping to be into the World Series. And then you have basketball that is being played in the Olympics, which is one of my favorite venues right now. I watch every sport that's going on. It doesn't matter what it is. I love to watch it. And then, of course, we've got football coming up. Yep. Everybody's eagerly anticipating the first kickoff. So, I mean, what better season could you have?
Well, I watch those Olympics, too, and some of those sports I don't know anything about, but I still watch them because, it's not like it used to be, what with the pros playing and the basketball and everything, but we had to do that to keep the field level. And I just don't see how anybody can beat our two teams, the girls, or the ladies, or the men. They're awesome.
But I was watching some of it, and the thing that really reaches out and grabs me, these kids have been training, many of them, for 4 years, almost on a daily basis. They're at the height of their physical abilities right now. And then once they fail, I was watching the gymnast last night, and one of the ladies – who was favored for the all-around championship, did not make it into the finals. And she couldn't control herself. I mean, just was absolutely just out of it. And I can imagine. Yeah. That's what she's been dreaming for, and that's what she's been working for. Could you imagine if everybody, all of us, would put as much energy in the things we do and as much thought, how successful each person could be?
Well, I used to always try to compare everything to athletes and the playing, the court or whatever. If everybody worked as hard at their job as the athletes do at their profession, we talk about all these players making all these enormous amounts of money, and it's way out of hand. As hard as they work, and, you know, with no family time and having to travel all this stuff, you know, it's amazing that how they can do it. And I wish everybody would work that hard at their job.
You know, we were talking before we went on the air, and one of the things that we were talking about was that a lot of times we look at the enormous amount of money these athletes are making. I mean, it's really obscene, and it's totally out of kilter. But it's not just the money. It's I am better than this player, yes. So therefore I deserve to make more. I wonder what would happen if no one knew what each player was making, how much that would affect what's going on.
Well, you got to think it would affect it a lot, and I don't see why they don't do that. But the first thing they want to do is to post on ESPN how much this one made, and then the next one comes down and says, well, Cole Hamels got this, you know, I think I deserve this, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the old baseball player that hit 50-something home runs, and he got his contract back in the 50s, and he got a pay cut, and he asked them why, and they said, well, we finished eighth. Said, we can finish eighth with a rookie. And you know, that's
the team concept.
That's right. That's right. But that we're losing that nowadays. But it's, it's professional sports. I just don't. That's why the tickets cost so much.
Yeah, it is.
And why you can't afford to go anymore.
People that are barely making enough money to pay their rent or their house payments and food for the kids, it's such a big draw to them, because that's an escape. When you go to a ball game, where it's football, baseball, basketball, whichever one you love the most, that is your escape into maybe how things used to be when you were a kid or whatever, when you were able to do things.
Well, there are some teams that still, you know, do things right. My grandson was in the Slammers, the Murfreesboro Slammers, played in the tournament at Lexington, Kentucky, weekend before last, and they went through Cincinnati. And they got a ticket on the third base, right beside the dugout for $15 because of the team. Mm-hmm. And you know, that makes sense. And my grandson got to sit right there in Cincinnati on the third baseline. And the last time I went was in the old field, not Crosley Field, but the next one. And we had to scrape around, Mr. A.G. and I, and we sat like 36 rows up. And he got to sit right by the dugout. So Cincinnati is doing something right. Mm-hmm. And they're letting people come in, you know, with groups and whatever. And that's pretty much what you got to do to get to go now.
Well, you know, I'm a real fan of the Atlanta Braves right now, and have been for some time. And even though you've got Chipper, this is his last season, and everybody's paying him a large portion of the credit for what's going on this year. They are really a team. They've got speed, they've got power, they've got good pitching. Maybe finally they're going to have that fifth starter that's going to be able to get them some time in there. But it's one of those things that we are probably to blame, because and also give ESPN some credit for some of the things that are going on wrong, because they focus on particular players, and they either build them up or they tear them down. And when we go to watch a team play, unfortunately, a lot of times we're looking at that number. It goes all the way back to Babe Ruth. We're looking for that number one player and see what he does each time, although probably the players that are rated underneath him are – there may be given more to the team than that particular individual.
The Braves, I turned them on the night, and the only one I knew was Chipper Jones and Brian McCann. But they've got some young players that are getting it done. And, you know, that's what you got to have. You can't just – one man is not going to – as the old saying goes, one monkey don't stop no show.
That's right.
And so one man don't make you – I mean, they can really help. And Chipper Jones has been – he is Mr. Brave as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think one of the reasons I'm so, sold on them this year is they have so many really good players that are filling in whatever the responsibilities needs to be done at the time. They got a center fielder, Michael Bourne, that can
– oh, yeah.
He can outrun a racehorse. Yep. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But every one of them seems like that they're fixed in – to help the team. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Larry Stewart.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I'm glad to see both of you are awake and up and at it.
We are. Do you go to Holly Grove Baptist Church, Butch?
Do I go to Holly Grove? No, I don't.
They had a new preacher that I was listening to Sunday morning and did a great job. And I presume, I don't know if he's going to take over or whether he was a guest or not, but I really did. I usually go to, on my way to church, I'll listen a little bit to the Vol Network, and because my channel is always on WGNS. And then I heard him, and I couldn't resist just listening to him all the way to church.
Well, it's good to get more than one service a day. That certainly doesn't hurt.
Well,
I am just now crossing the Larry E. Stewart Memorial Bridge.
Oh, good, man. Hey, get out and bow while you're at
get
it.
Get out and walk
it's
over.
Still standing. The
go over to Valley Growers
there.
And buy something, Butch, while you're out
but
there.
But I was listening a minute ago, you were talking about getting seats at athletic contests, and it reminded me of a picture I've got of what was known at that time kind of an elementary basketball. It's the Big Four, which included Stewart, Campbell, Swanson, and Wise.
That's right.
And the picture of us kind of laid back on about the second row, I think, on one end of the floor, and good times remembered.
Yeah, that was, we were scattered out over about three rows there, as best I remember it. That was at Central Middle School. I don't remember what year, but we were taking it in, doing our job, wasn't we, Butch?
Well, we was having a good time and enjoying watching the young athletes come along, and maybe someday we could see some of them playing in the big time.
I hope so. We've seen a few come through, hadn't we?
Yeah, we have.
Was that back in the 40s?
Back in the what?
The 40s.
I see.
No, not in the 40s. This is more
see,
than
the... And he didn't even tell you who the preacher was. He was talking about Brian Barrett was the guest. He was a fill-in at Holly Grove Church yesterday because everybody else didn't show up.
He was nominated. Like, he was
two,
the only
two
one
hours before he had to, he was pressed into service and did a great job. From what I hear, and well, I guess if you listened early, you heard George Plaster and Truman and I were off in the side room, and I said, I guess everybody listens or has listened to George Plaster, and I said he's right in the same category with Brian Barrett and Monty Hale.
I'd say he may be a step below Brian.
Well, I'd say right now he is when it comes to Rutherford County sports. I know he is.
I know it.
Of course, you know that John Dinkins is a major part of the Three Stooges there. So,
well, you said a major part of what?
The Three Stooges.
Barrett Johnson and...
The Three Stooges, is that what you said?
Yeah,
that's
exactly what
on
I
radio,
said.
Brian Barrett,
which one
Donnie
is?
Johnson, and John Dinkins.
Would you say the Walter Hill principle is a little bit more dense than the Las Casas principle?
I would hope so.
probably.
We've solved a lot of problems in our days together, I know that, and probably created a few, I don't know.
And there may have been one or two, maybe not more than that, though, that we didn't solve, but most of them we could handle without any problem.
That's right. That's
right. Well, you gentlemen, keep up the good work. I'm glad to hear both everybody's up and Truman got there on time for the early show.
I only got here on time, big boy, but I also brought coffee in for everybody this morning. So,
well, you're just an ace of a fella, then.
Yes.
I never got that hospitality in the afternoon, did you, Larry?
No, well, of course, it was too late to drink coffee. You do know we're replacing G. Gordon Liddy now, don't you?
I understand that.
Okay, well, that's pretty tall cotton right there. You know, we got bumped by George Plaster, which wasn't bad, but they needed somebody to replace the G-man, and Truman was selected.
Well, he can certainly do it.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Thanks for calling, Butch.
Thanks, Butcher. And I want to know that I am not the only one replacing the G-Man. Brian comes on after me, and we make a pretty good tag team, I think, for the most part.
We're not wrestling, though.
Right? No.
That'd be a bad tag team.
Yes.
Now, that would be George Gulas if you're talking wrestling, not George
Plaster. Oh, you remember George Gulas?
I remember his daddy.
Oh, my goodness. We used to watch that faithfully. Is one of probably the only thing on Saturday night.
Yep.
And I really thought it was real.
I did too. I thought the moonshot was fake, but I thought wrestling was real.
Don't tell me you were one of those.
No. Did you remember who the sponsor was?
No.
Oh. The jewelry store.
Oh,
Shire's Jewelry. And the saying was,
if you don't know your jewelry, if you don't know your jewelry, know your jeweler or something like
and
that.
And if Harold Shire says it's so, it's so.
Harold L. Shire.
We're going to tell her age here in a minute, Truman.
I wish we could just get a whole set of all those commercials we had back then, because they were really real.
Oh, they were.
I mean, they were interesting.
They were. And, you know, you remember the one when the coach at Tennessee State football forever.
It wasn't Temple.
Meyer. John Merritt. John Merritt.
Yeah.
He made a commercial for that furniture store down there in Nashville. I don't know what it was, but he was laying on a big round, looked like a waterbed or something. He sold more furniture down there.
He was a big guy.
Yes, he was. And he used to come to Murfreesboro to buy stuff from Mr. A.G. And we'd be hanging around there. And one day, Johnny Parsley, everybody remembers.
Oh, yes.
Johnny Parsley.
He Mr. Riverdale.
On Saturday morning, his mom would bring him to town. He'd hang around AG's, and he was fussing about nobody important ever comes in here. It's just you and Ray Hughes and some of them. Well, about that time, John Merritt walked in, and Johnny, I thought he was going to have a heart attack right there. And John Merritt was so nice to Johnny. It's just like he'd known him all of his life. And I thought, you know, what a great guy to do, you know, this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Johnny was impressed.
You know, back then, TSU had legends that were coaches over there.
Oh, yes.
Well, you remember, Temple had probably the greatest track team, the girls'
I'd
track team ever.
I'd say he had the best women's track team in the country, no doubt about it, with Wilma Rudolph and all that bunch.
What was it, 1960, when Wilma Rudolph broke all the records over there, and nobody even came close to her.
I mean, Olympics was in what, in Germany or somewhere that year? Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
She was something else.
And she was born with a disability, and if I remember right, she actually had to wear braces.
I think
when she was just a young girl.
I think so.
And she was just absolutely, you know, sometimes some athletes are just born with grace, and she could run just with effortlessly.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed
like. And, you know, the Tennessee State basketball team, my gosh, how many of them guys went to the pros, Hound McLean, Truck, and all that month? I mean, they had some great, great teams down there back in the 60s.
They had some guy, I can't remember, but he was a guard. He would shoot from the side, kind of like Montgomery
that
would.
That was Skull Barnett.
That's you got
Skull Barnett.
I've never
pros
seen anybody
forever.
Shoot like him.
Yeah. He kind of, he didn't follow through, he just kind of jerked it. But it went in, and that's, you know, that's what counts.
I want to say hi to some of my buddies that are going through some special hard times right now. And Miss Sue Hollingsworth, I want to say hi to Sue. Dr. Leon Rulin, Sandra Cullen, and Patty Hamlin. I wish them all the best, and I know that they're going to be fine.
Well, Truman, I've got a little buddy that I want to say get well to. Brittany Leahy had a little accident up Center Hill Lake yesterday with one of those ski-doos or whatever you call them. And she's going to be okay. She kind of got her chin busted, maybe some teeth knocked loose. But, yeah, we want to just say hang in there, boo, and get well quick, because it's about time for school to start. And, you know, the cheerleaders need to start working early. Boo's a cheerleader at Siegel. So you hang in there, girl. You'll be all right.
Now, how's that going to affect her in her cheerleading?
Well, I don't know. You know, the biggest part of cheerleading is the mouth, isn't it? So, I don't know. I'd say she can handle it. She can handle it.
You've been out of school how long now?
Since 2000. I've been retired 13 years.
Goodness gracious. Do you miss it?
Yes, I do. I miss the kids, and I miss the parents. Dealing with the parents, we never had a bit of problem. Parents and I got along fine. I miss that part. I don't miss all the other stuff that comes down from the State Department, you know, that you have to do to make somebody else look good that doesn't have anything to do with teaching and learning. I hated that part. And that's one of the big problems in education right now. But while we're on education, let me commend the Rutherford County School Board for doing something right. Everybody knew when they was hiring the superintendent of schools that Don Oldham was the best man for the job, and mm-hmm. and the school board saw that and they hired him. And I'm gonna tell you, Rutherford County school system is in great shape, and it will be even greater with Don Oldham, because he is the best school man that I've ever known.
We were so spoiled with Harry Gill.
We were.
And a lot of people don't know the ins and outs of what all Harry had to deal with. And he was just like a bulldog. I mean, once he knew that something had to be done and something had to be done right, Harry was there. And he, you know, the criticism that you take when you're over, you have such great responsibility when you're over something as important as the schools. Most of the time, I feel like it's unwarranted, because they really don't know, the people that are complaining, what they're having to deal with at that particular time.
They don't have a clue.
No.
And Don's style's a little different, but he'll do a great job.
We're going.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Jim Williams. Two people have been found dead in the remains of a house after firefighters extinguished a fire in western Knox County overnight. Flames broke out in the Concord community. Rural Metro Battalion Chief Rick Harrell says that fire appeared to have started in a bedroom of the home. The body of one of the victims found about 10 feet from the front door of the house. The identities of those killed weren't released right away. A memorial's been dedicated to a local police officer.
A memorial marker honoring Officer Wayne Cotton Morgan will be dedicated Wednesday outside the Morgan County Correctional Complex. Officer Morgan was shot 7 years ago while escorting an inmate from the Roane County Courthouse.
CRN's Andrew Warren. And the Federal Centers for Disease Control ranks Nashville and Memphis both high on the list of cities where young people get killed in traffic crashes. Nashville is number 3 among major U.S. cities, Memphis 4th in traffic deaths involving 15 to 24-year-olds. In Nashville, that rate was 22.7 per 100,000 residents. Memphis had 22. Only Birmingham and Jacksonville had more deaths to rank number 1 and 2, respectively.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Roto-Rooter Plumbers of Rutherford, Cannon, Bedford, Warren Counties is a full-service plumbing and drain cleaning company providing residential, commercial, and industrial services. There are no trip charges, no contracts, or clubs to join. Roto-Rooter technicians are trained to serve, not to sell. Roto-Rooter, 890-3905, an individually owned franchise by George Weiss and Mike Watson.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And legal troubles.
890-3905.
Quality products, outstanding service, friendly employees, all are essential to a successful business. But there are also invisible products every business must have, like honesty, dependability, and customer trust. Customer loyalty is earned when businesses take the time to learn from their customers. Our BBB accredited businesses make this pledge. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
The Tennessee Highway Patrol is accepting applications for the fall session of the Citizens Trooper Academy. The 10-week academy with sessions once a week consists of approximately 30 hours of training. It's expensive to fly out of Memphis. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics gives them the second highest average in the first quarter of 2012. It costs about $520 for an average domestic fare. Kristen Thoburn, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Hello, this is Greg Brooks for Road Superintendent. Many people have asked what a road superintendent does. The best answer to that question is all of the same things I did at B&M Paving Company for over 30 years. Road construction and maintenance, planning and budgeting, material purchasing, and crew supervision. My experience at B&M Paving is unmatched by any other candidate. I am the most qualified to be your road superintendent.
Early voting from July 13th to July 28th. The county general election day is August 2nd.
I'm Greg Brooks, and I approve this message.
We're here with Dr. Rishi Saxena, this area's only physician certified in heart CT.
We were one of the earliest to start, and we start doing it before most of the hospital in Nashville.
And while others have acquired it, only Dr. Saxena knows how to use the information.
They don't have people to read it, or they have no experience in dealing with it.
Call 896-4800 to also schedule a test with Dr. Saxena to detect calcium deposits in arteries. It's only $60. No insurance claims will be filed.
online only absolute auction. Handyman Special at 14591 Highway 99 in Eagleville. It sits on 6 acres with a nice country home and outbuilding. Go to ReliantRealtyAuctions.com to bid now through Thursday, August 2nd at 7 p.m. Online only absolute auction. The home and property will be sold as is where is. Name your price at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com now through Thursday, August 2nd on a country home, 6 acres in Eagleville.
WeatherEye.
For the forecast area, we have a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms. We will see some sunshine, a high of 93 with a west-southwest wind. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 79.
That update brought to you by Motel 6. For 50 years, Motel 6 has been welcoming travelers with a clean, comfortable room at the lowest of the price of national chains. Book at motel6.com, and yes, they'll leave the light on for you.
Congratulations to today's WGNS birthday cake winner, Brad Rogers, receiving that birthday cake from our friends at Junior's Foodland, and today's good neighbor of the day, Miss Louise Crowell. Now back to more of The Truman Show with special guest Larry Stewart.
And welcome back with Larry Stewart, and this part of our show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything from a simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's, and that's on to Ridgely Road. You know, we were discussing a little bit about Don Odom coming and taking Harry's place. And, you know, when you go into a new position, although he has been in the school system for years and years, it takes you a while to get your feet on the ground. But it seems like Don has hit the ground running. And having to attack all those major decisions that affect the school system and our kids is really a tough job.
It is.
You know.
It is. And Don is certainly prepared for it. He was the director of instruction. And I said, if Don Odom gets the superintendent's job, the hardest job he'll have is filling his old position, which he did with Richard Zako, who will do a great job. But, you know, I noticed the first big controversy we had, and, you know, people will get upset over something they have no clue about.
Right.
All this big deal about the Muslim education or whatever. Don's smooth that. I mean, he didn't smooth it over. He just went out and told the crowd the facts, and then it was all over. And that could have been a real major disaster had he not handled it the way he did. And that's the way Don Odom operates. You know, I used to tell parents would ask me questions about school, and I said, I don't know. And one of them said, well, that's your job to know. I said, no, my job is to know Don Odom's phone number. I can call him, and in 30 seconds, he can tell me what it'd take me 2 weeks to look up. So, I mean, he's that knowledgeable, and he has a way about him that, you know, he solves controversies before they ever get started. And, of course, he comes from a school family. His mother taught at Las Casas for years and years and years, and she could find more good in students than anybody I ever saw. I don't care who they were. And back then, she taught fourth grade, and if you went to fourth grade Las Casas, you was in her room. I don't care if it was 20 of you or 40 of you. She could find something good about every one of them. And that's what it takes. And a lot of that rubbed off on Don because, there will be no controversies with Don Oldman, superintendent, because he knows how to handle it.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I think that was I don't think it was as much a lot of people that were fighting the religion concept as it much was, is it going to affect how the everyday world on how people do things in the classroom or whatever. And I think, you know, those things have a way of working out when you have good, smart, well-mannered people that are actually running those type situations.
Right. And people, I think those people, and me and you included, don't want some religion to come in and be taught in schools when we can't teach our own.
Right.
And I think a lot of people thought that's what was going to happen, and Don explained, you know, as things come down the pike that are mentioned, and then that's it. And that's probably what this was. You know, they just won't mention, you know, the ACLU and stuff like that. But I think a lot of people said, thinking, if we can't teach Christianity, why should we be teaching something else? And exactly. I agree with that 100%.
Right.
You know,
because that's what our country basically
was
founded
on. That's exactly right. But I think, you know, and that was not the intent, but that's what the people thought. And, you know, Don took care of that without having a bunch of media and all. He just went out and said, hey, this is what it's all about. And they were happy.
Well, unfortunately, we have a number of Chicken Littles in this country that the sky's always falling or whatever, if it seems to be the smallest thing. But, you know, this is a country that's made up of laws. Our forefathers saw to it that it's amazing the foresight that they had that reaches out even today, as long as we don't do something to mess it up.
That's right. And, you know, when they set out in 76 and made all this Constitution, how many amendments have we had to add? Not very many.
Right.
And some of those were just common sense, like, you know, giving women the right to vote, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were pretty smart. Tom Jefferson and his group, they were pretty smart back in those days.
Well, don't forget Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, yeah, Ben was good. He was in there, too.
Well, you know, as the laws are out, there's always somebody trying to change things or make them more difficult. And it's amazing to me how individuals see things different. And I guess that's what one of the things that made our country great. I remember my 12th grade teacher in American history, Ms. Young, always said that the thing that makes this country stronger than any other country in the world, and always will be stronger, is that we have so many different groups that are living in this country, and we have so many different backgrounds and abilities.
Yeah, and that's true, as long as everybody realizes that they're not the only group.
Right.
And, you know, and it'll work, but some, like you said, those Chicken Littles, you know, everybody wants to know, what can you do for me right now? Mm-hmm. They don't think about what you did yesterday or what you may do tomorrow. So as long as everybody realizes that the way it was set up and don't try to change it, we're going to be all right. Now, when people start trying to get around the laws and all this, that's when we're going to have problems.
Well, anytime you have political decisions that are made in a court of law, then you're going to have problems.
That's correct.
And it seems to take away from the strength of what has been done to make those laws. And of course, laws can change, as you know, whether it be state law or federal law or whatever. We elect the people that have the authority at that particular time to go whichever direction we want to go. And sometimes I think that we get too emotional on what our needs are, and we don't put a lot of thought in what we're looking
for. Oh, I think you're exactly right. You're exactly right. You know, whatever suits me is what I want. And then if it don't suit you, then as far as I'm concerned, you don't count.
That's
not the way it should be.
When you were formulating our children when they were in the classroom and at your school, how difficult was it to teach them how to look at the whole picture rather than look after their own interests? Because I know kids, I have seen in the workplace, people have changed, and it seems like it's more their own interest seems to take a whole lot more of their time than the interest of maybe their work or what's going on with other people. Am I a little bit too tough on that particular situation?
No. The kids that I had at Las Casas came to school knowing how to act, what they were supposed to do, respect others, respect their property and all that stuff. So I didn't have as hard a job as maybe somebody at another school.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like that my job at Las Casas and the teachers at Las Casas' job was to try to educate every student as best they could. Mm-hmm. Now, we realize that every kid is not going to go to college. We realize that some kids are going to, it's like the old song goes, a rich boy goes to college, poor boy goes to work. We knew they were going to get out and go to work. And now I was telling somebody, I don't know, this weekend, there are probably some kids that went to Las Casas High School and got a diploma that maybe didn't deserve it. We pushed them along. We helped them along. And now those kids are out working every day, paying their taxes and being productive citizens. Where if we had been just, as the old saying goes, hell-bent to do it this way, mm-hmm. they would have quit school and then they would have been out where you used to work, right. or some of them. But I felt like that was our job, and our main job was to teach them how to get along in this world that we have to live in.
Right.
And too many times parents try to protect their kids from the real world while they're in school, not realizing that they're going to have to live in this real world one of these days, and you need to get prepared. And we tried to do that, and I think for the most part, we did a pretty good job. I can't take credit for Don Odom's education, but he is Las Casas High School graduate, so somebody did something right.
And he succeeded anyway.
He did. He did, in spite of Jess Faulkner and Ernie Sullivan and some of them.
You know,
now, Don also married well. We can't forget
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, you're talking about something. I was relating about the Olympics earlier, about the kids. They're so high when they win, and when they lose or don't place as high as they feel like they need to, it's devastating to them. So they're putting all this tremendous pressure on themselves to succeed. Are we looking at something like that in the classroom, where we're structuring these kids that they have to reach a certain level? I mean, if the school is going to be successful under today's programs, that's a tremendous amount of pressure. And what you were saying earlier, that's not exactly what school is all about.
Well, it wasn't my idea of right. what school's all about. And you know, when I went to school, you know, I was taught, you know, I don't remember ever having a teacher that had a college degree until I got to high school, started taking agriculture.
I remember that.
But we learned, you know, and we didn't forget. And we were taught, you know, how to behave and how to get along in this real world out there. And to answer your question, I think we're putting a lot of pressure on kids that we don't need to. We don't need to. And you know, kids put a lot of pressure on themselves, just like these athletes. You know, they go to school and they see this one doing so and so, and they want to be, you know, just like this one, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves. But those Olympic athletes, you got to remember, they feel like this is their one shot. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody to get to go back like Phelps and the girl that's playing volleyball 35, having a birthday today, you know, you don't get two shots. A lot of them don't. And so, I mean, when they get beat, it's over. And, you know, they feel like, I may not get another shot at this. So they've worked hard, and, you know, I can understand. It's not like playing basketball and losing the first game of the season. I mean, you got 20-something more.
Right.
But this is their only shot, some of them. And it's a lot of pressure. And school puts a lot of pressure on kids. And not just school-related kids. You know, you get peer pressure. You know, I want to, this one's got polo jeans or whatever. I want to have them, too. And that's why schools are going to uniforms. You know, I have no problem with those uniforms myself, but a lot of people do. But I don't understand why.
What happens if a school, under today's rules, does not succeed at the level they're supposed to?
Well,
what happens? What can any sanctions or anything be done with them at that time?
Oh yeah. I hadn't kept up with it in 13 years, but it's my understanding that if school don't measure up, the state can come in and take over that school, and you know, get rid of the principal, do whatever. And you know, I think it's kind of hard to do that, but we have some schools that are on probation, and you know, the state says, you know, we're going to come in and take them over. Now, will that be an improvement? No, I don't think. I don't think the state can run a school in Rutherford County as good as Rutherford County can.
Amen
but
to that.
Now, you also have children who learn at different levels, and those kids are not scattered out as well as they could be. Some schools are stuck with more of those kids than others. Well, you know, I can make you look good by giving you who you get to teach it to. Mm-hmm. And some kids do better than other kids. And so that's, you know, you got to look at all of it. But I don't think the people in the State Department look at the whole picture a lot of times. They just look at those test scores and say, well, this is it. And I don't agree with that.
So you can't really take the child at his or her aptitude, pre-testing or whatever, and if that child improves but does not improve to the level of what they expect, you're still not doing your job. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I understand it. But now, they don't expect every child to perform at the same level. I hope nobody thought that's what I was saying, because they don't. You take a child at where you get them and try to get them to where they need to be in your time that you have. And, you know, if you take a child that's already scoring on the 99th percentile, well, you don't have a whole lot of work to do with that kid, because that's as high as he can go. Now, if you get one that's scoring on the 40th percentile, then you've got some work to do. And you have to teach them, you know, at their level. If you don't, they can't learn it, and they're not going to try. So you've got more than one classroom going on inside a room. I mean, you have maybe 10 different levels, and teaching is really tough. You know, people that are talking about what a bad job teachers do need to go in the classroom every once
right.
in a while. People are talking You're about right. how the kids don't behave on school, but need to drive a bus every once in a while. You'll find out it's not as easy as it was when you were in school, where everybody got the same reading book. I got the same book that Joanne Clark got when I was in the first grade. Buddy, she could read. I couldn't. Well, you know what happened? I took mine home every night. We got in front of the fireplace, and my mama made me read to her. But I didn't get a different book, but I had to work a whole lot harder. And, you know, that hadn't changed that much. It's still got to be that way. You got to push them, but you can't just give them something that they can't do. Every day they're going to quit, and I don't blame them.
Well, you have some people, I mean, you can go really radical and say somebody like Einstein, extremely bright in math and sciences, but probably not very well in some of the other classes. Are you able to take that out, their particular assets, and relate that to their schoolwork, knowing that they're not going to be able to do some of the other social things
or
stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, and you have those kind of kids.
I mean, yes.
You have them, still have them. There's still some, I guess you'd call them little Einsteins. They're still out there. You take the autistic kids, and you and I are real familiar with that.
Oh, yes.
I mean, some of them are brilliant. Mm-hmm. They just can't project it like you and I can. But, you know, you can't just put them aside and give them a toy to play with. You've got to work with them, and they can function and become good citizens, but they've got to have a little help.
And I think Rutherford County does a tremendous job with those special kids.
They really do.
And you can see the difference when they come home
yes.
after they've been to school.
It's just like a different kid. And the guy that just called in here, Butch Campbell, ours, the one we're affiliated with, she went to school at Butch's school for 2 years preschool. Amazing how much she did. And now she's at Las Casas doing great, buddy. But they've got
to be. That's true success stories.
Yes, they've got to be handled a little different.
Right. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back with you.
My name is Dale Corbett. 14 years ago, after 25 years of military service, I was hired as the county engineer. Based on my engineering degree and my years of professional experience as a registered engineer, I'm running for the position of Rutherford County Highway Superintendent. I'm the only registered engineer running in this race. I care about this community, and I'll be looking out for our safety. Election Day is August the 2nd. I would appreciate your vote, paid for by friends to elect Del Corbett treasurer.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Skill Construction, established in 1991, has what it takes to provide quality products and service while delivering customer satisfaction in home building, remodeling, and restoration. Skill Construction, a name that assures homeowners and buyers a lifetime of comfort and superior value in their investment. A designated certified green professional, certified professional builder and remodeler by the Home Builders Association. 904-8842. It's better when it's built with skill. Skill Construction, 904-8842.
Your personal identity is more valuable than cash or jewelry to many thieves. With just a few pieces of information, thieves can manufacture a new identity. With access to your banking accounts, credit cards, thieves can ruin your good reputation. For tips on how to keep your identity safe, visit GoBBB.org or call me at 867-0032. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
Here's Frank LaPetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
I would like to extend a special invitation for you to come worship with us. We are an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Southern Baptist church, teaching Christ Jesus is the Lord and a sinful man's only hope.
Worship with the family of Holly Grove Baptist Church. Sunday school begins at 9:45 a.m. and worship services at 11. Join us Wednesday nights at 7.
We have a great youth program and Sunday school classes for all age groups.
Holly Grove Baptist Church is on Holly Grove Road. Turn right off Highway 231 past Walter Hill School onto Holly Grove Road.
We're about 3 miles on the left. I promise you, you will find a warm welcome inside. Find out more at hollygrovebaptist.com or by calling 896-5282.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
Don't miss our services here on WGNS each Sunday at noon. I'm Frank LaPetri, and may the Lord bless you.
This is Bill Bonner, property assessor of Rutherford County. In 2008, I ran my campaign on being fair and honest. And since that campaign, nothing has changed. I continue to be fair, honest, and treat everyone equal. I believe in Rutherford County, believe in giving back to the community. I'm running again and asking for your vote for property assessor. I love my job and serving you. Please vote for me as your property assessor for Rutherford County. I'm Bill Bonner, and I approve this message.
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy of Murfreesboro Outdoors inviting all y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, we're half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Larry Stewart, our special guest today. And this part of his show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography, 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro. And you can reach them at 396-8776 or on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. You know, when you come on, there's so much that we can talk about because we go back a long way. We go back through the pages of times long ago, and there's always one special name that comes out.
Yep. Think about him every day.
And, you know, will we ever see a time like that again where one person meant so much to all of our kids? I know we have a lot of great names. We can talk about Gilbert Sharon and Jack Jolly, who's going to be on Monday. Ray Hughes and all of those people. But that one name always pops up.
Yep, that'd be LDAG.
Yes.
He did more for sports in Rutherford County. I doubt that you could walk up to somebody on the street, just go up here on the square at lunchtime and stop somebody that's 50 year old or older. And say, hey, Jerry, buy anything from LEAG, and they'll probably say, yeah, and you know my mama couldn't afford it, and he said, pay me when you can.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, you'll hear that 9 times out of 10, and that will never happen again, Truman. I think those days are gone, and I'm sorry to hear that, but he was a great guy.
All of us kids that played ball back in the old days, we would go in the store a lot of times, probably didn't have a dime,
yep.
And we would be looking at a special glove. You know how it was
back then. The
we dreamed about things.
Yeah, the A2000.
Oh, yeah. And it just had to have that glove and didn't have a dime. And how many times would LD say, here, go ahead and take that glove home with you, and when you get the money, come back and pay for it.
Never wrote anything down. Now, you and I go back to when he was up on Maple Street.
Right.
Had a little old building about the size of this room we're in, and it was cram full. But, he would say, pay me when you can. Never wrote it down. And if you didn't pay, I mean, you didn't hear from it. And you'd be surprised how many people took advantage of that. And when he passed away, there was a lot of money on the books that happened just like that. Pay me when you can.
You know, there's a big to-do right now about Penn State.
Yeah.
Paterno taking his statue down and all those other things. And, you know, I'm sure everybody has mixed emotions on what's going on there. It depends on which side of the fence you're on. But I've always thought that something needs to be done to keep the memories strong for all of us that have been affected by the generosity of that one man.
Well,
I don't know what could be done, but something needs to be.
For every Sandusky you find, you can find 100 LDAGs, but we never hear about them. And LD was one that wanted to stay in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they first started naming this LDAG Little League Day at Middle, because Pete got that started and everything. LD didn't want to go. They wanted to throw out the first pitch, and he said, Big Daddy, you go. You go. You go represent AG Sporting Goods. I said, no, LD is for you, and you're going to go. I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to take you. And once he got there, he was just as happy as he could be. But he didn't want any credit for anything.
He
didn't want the limelight.
No. All right, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Larry Stewart.
Well, Truman, you and I were benefits AG, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
And I've got, someone wanted to ask you a question. She wanted to know who was leading in the points in NASCAR now.
In the points? He's a junior of some kind.
Kay wanted you to call her and let her know who was leading in points.
You know, Mike, I don't even keep up with that, but I knew the answer to that because I saw it going across the bottom of the screen. I thought everybody was an Earnhardt fan, are they not?
Well, evidently not.
Well, you're looking at one right now.
that's sort of like, I don't know, the late Pusher Hal and some of these other people. You either hate them or you love them, right?
But one thing about it, she can crow a little bit because he finally won a race in 5 years. So I guess that's something to brag about.
Well, she's waiting on you to call her.
I will do that.
It'd be better talking to her than you. I'll bet you on that.
Amen. I'll let you guys go.
All right.
See you, Mike. That's my brother, Mike.
Yeah, I knew who it was.
Well, it's been another great show, Larry. We almost need to make you a permanent fixture here because, I don't know, sometimes I just really enjoy your friendship. I enjoy being with you. I love your family. And I'm just probably just stepping aboard with everybody else that knows you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I think we never talk enough about MTSU.
No.
And what they do over there. But we got a new group going into the Hall of Fame, 5 new members. I know who they are because I got my invitation. I haven't seen
them. Are you one of them?
I've been in there.
Well, I know, but I thought maybe this is some kind of an emeritus thing.
Double, a double take.
Yeah.
You can play two sports.
Do you get anything special besides the honor?
I get to go every year, if that's what you're asking. But anyway, I want to congratulate those five before you get me off the subject here. Those five are going in, and be looking for the paper. You'll see who they are. And I think, you know, you always get a lot of flack about who gets in, who don't. There's a lot of people not in. That should be. Mm-hmm. But we're in the catching up phase. And we started doing five, and I went in 2007. That was last year. They put in three. Now we do five, and we're catching up. And there are some people that I've been pushing for that really need to be in there that's not in there. But everybody can't make it. But this year's five, I think you'll be happy with them.
Well, I'm happy with whoever comes. I was happy with you. I mean,
well,
my goodness.
That's saying
I don't raise
right
my bar very high when I'm looking at that. All right, now, LDAG, now what are we going to do about honoring him? I mean,
well,
I
don't know what we can do.
I think
I think
a statue on the square or something.
It's a great honor for him to be, for them to have LDAG Little League Day, because he loved Little League. And yeah, back when Babe Ruth was really going strong, he coached one of the teams. And I can remember when I first came to Murfreesboro, you know, we didn't have any money, so we did things that didn't cost anything, mm-hmm. and we'd go to the Babe Ruth ball games. And I mean, buddy, I saw some great players that I thought could be major leaguers. Donnie House, you know, and some of
yeah.
that group. And, I mean, it was good, clean, and those guys, Norris Lovern, George Prim, Hal Crockett, LDAG, and all of them, they did a great job with those kids.
Amen.
You'd see them on the square, it was yes, sir, no, sir, Mr. Stewart, Mr. Jones, Homer Jones, mm-hmm. man, I can't. But we need something needs to be done to honor LDAG, even though he would be happy if nothing was ever said.
But I would be happier if something
was
done.
I would too.
And the rest of this week, tomorrow we have Miles Lane, the veterinarian, and a great guy. John Blankenship, we're going to have some music and some funny stuff going on. Ron Fryer, who is the publisher of the Murfreesboro Post, will be on Thursday. And Dan Whittle will have three special guests with him. Gary Judkins, who was with the Four Guys. Rocky Crook, who is a songwriter, along with John Holmes. And Rocky Crook used to travel with Hank Williams Sr. So going to have a great week. We'll
Whittle
see
needs
tomorrow.
All the backup he can get.
Yes, he does. You're exactly right.